Well, Kate, she is here with a stack of books in front of her. No, she's not late with her library returns, but instead she has the International Impact Dublin Literary Award shortlist with her. And this, as Alan was saying, it's a belter of an award. Is it the largest literary prize in the world, Kate, coming in at €100,000?
Yes, it comes in at €100,000, and I hope it will last for, you know, the impact money is on the way out, so they're going to have to find a replacement for that money. So, I mean, I suppose the whole attraction is that it's international. It's not only English literature, it just has to be translated into English. So it's got a huge attraction because we get to read novels we might never have read. And in fact, I've divided the 10 shortlisted up into continents almost. There's, first of all, the two Irish ones that Alan spoke about, Donal Ryan, The Spinning Heart, and The Light of Amsterdam by David Park. Then there's two European ones. That's The Detour by Gerbrand Bakker, the guy who won with the Twin a few years ago, then A Death in the Family by Karl Ove Knausgård, and that's from Norway. And then there are two
Asian... This is your middle pile now.
Yes, Asian ones. The Evening, The Garden of Evening Myths, which is from Malaysia, and that's by Tan Tuan Ng. And then there's Questions of Travel by Michelle de Kretzer. Now, that is Sri Lankan with a twist of Australia. And The Sound of Things Falling, then, we're in South America. That's from Colombia. That's Juan Gabriel Vasquez. And then Traveller of the Century is by Andres Newman. Now, it's he's Argentinian. He lives in Spain, but it's set in an imaginary country. And it's kind of 19th century literature kind of turned on its head. And then the last two are about African subjects. Marie Ndiaye is Three Strong Women, and it's she's French Senegal, and it's about some of it's in set in France and some in Senegal. And then the last one is Absolution, written by an American author, Patrick Flannery, but it's about the new South Africa.
Wow, so you've that 10, that list of 10 in front of you. I know you've read some of them, but the plan over the next few weeks is that you have set yourself this mission that you're going to plough through all of these 10 titles, come into studio and talk to us here each week reviewing them. Just though to remind people, like, you've given us a sense of the scale there. Going back, say, maybe starting with the two Irish ones, I mean, Donal Ryan, The Spinning Heart, people might feel they've been hearing about that for quite a while. How is that book, for example, still eligible for a prize this year?
Well, you see, as long as it was published in the last 2 years, it's still eligible because, of course, it's such a democratic prize. It's the libraries from international cities all over the world. I was reading the ones Mexico City had nominated, then Cork Library nominate somebody, then Asian cities.
So all these libraries around the world submit their ideas and their nominations to for this prize
so
in Ireland.
So you might look at the long list and you might see Hilary Mantel and Bring Up the Bodies, and you and I might think, why isn't that on the shortlist?
Why isn't it on the shortlist?
Exactly. Well, I would still ask that. But you have to think, well, maybe that hasn't got the great impact in Mexico City or in Beijing. So what they get 152 novels, and then the judging panel whittle it down to this 10. And I mean, it is quite international, and I suppose that's the exciting thing about it. It's not just the books we've heard about that are going to be nominated.
And going back to this hefty prize of €100,000, if, for example, in the case of the Bakker novel a few years ago, if a translated novel wins, the translator gets a cut of the money.
Yes, he gets, or she gets, €25,000, and then the author gets the 75,000.
So that's huge acclaim and attention.
That's five of the novels we're talking about are translated.
Okay, so Spinning Heart, just in a sentence, can you remind Irish readers of that book?
It's 21 monologues. It's about Ireland post the Celtic Tiger. The bottom has fallen out of the building market. So we're talking about the builder in this small village in Munster has fled the town, and we're left with the people who are struggling to live in ghost estates, who are struggling with mental illness, who are trying to set up independently. And it's a great novel. And it's a great one to start with, too. 150 pages, and you fear you're in it. You're in the impact mode.
Now, just moving on, another one, just going through the notes that I thought sounded really interesting, was Three Strong Women, for example. What do we know about that African-themed novel?
Now, again, there seems to be a theme that people are writing in narrative. So let's say there was 21 in the Spinning Heart. In this, there are three narratives with maybe a slight connection between them. Maybe a character in one pops up in another. But it's a story about African women. But sometimes it's about the man they're with. Let's say in the first one, it's about the father who brings his lawyer daughter back to Senegal because he wants her to fix up the mess, the family mess that he has created by his old selfishness back 20 years ago. And then it ends with a wonderful story of a woman we meet earlier as the childminder in that story. And she ends up, she's a widow, she's thrown out of the family, and she joins the band of migrants who have to try and find their way into Europe.
Now, you touched on this notion of the form, that this sense of individual voices getting their own, the same equal footing in a book, it seems to be common enough. Were there themes that we can see? Is there anything that we can see really did appeal to judges that it links the books? Or do you think this is a really strong list because there are 10 very different stories being told here?
Yeah, I think they're very different stories from what I can see. There are echoes, let's say, in the Bakker novel. There's a ghost of Emily Dickinson, and then in the Traveller of the Century, that's a book which explores the 19th century novel. The writer says what he wanted to do was put a helicopter into the carriage of the 19th century novel. So he's done all things of making it in a fantasy land. He's played with ideas about narrative and style just to try and shake up that novel type that we're so comfortable in. Then there's also, I thought, a comparison. Again, the Gerbrand Bakker novel is about a woman who comes to Wales and tries to tame this unruly garden to try and give her sanity. And then in the Tan Twang Ing book, The Garden of Evening Miss. It's a woman who has suffered the trauma of the Japanese internment camps during the Second World War. And she goes into the mountains of Malaysia and she meets this gardener, a man who used to be the gardener of the Emperor of Japan. And she wants him to build a garden in memorial to her sister who died in the terrible camps.
So landscape is a really common kind of theme that's going to be explored here, important to these stories. But I'm just wondering, when we look, say, at the book, or we look at the luminaries, Eleanor Catton was talking to Sean last night, the biggest book ever to win, are these books, bar Donal Ryan, which we all know is a charming size, but are these books similarly hefty? How tough a mission is this for you to complete?
No, I don't think so. Even though I started with Donal Ryan, which I read again, Absolution is around 400 pages. But again, that has four distinct narratives. And so that does help.
Do you find that compelling, or do you think it's a weakness in writing times?
Well, I suppose it's like going to the theatre and you do see, you know, and you see three monologues and you think, oh no, I just want to get into the story. So even though they're very enjoyable, and I must say Donal Ryan's has such energy in it, and Absolution, you know, it's about all the different, the unreliable narrators that you're reading, you're trying to
and
piece together.
And that's like a quite South African experience, isn't it? And
yes,
it's interesting, you know, with the current events in South Africa to be
it is so
to be
reflective
thinking about that
of the Pistorius lifestyle. You know, they live in luxury bunkers. You know, they have double gated buildings, they've dogs, they've panic buttons in every room, they've got guns, they've got everything. And it's all about keeping out the poor black South Africans who need to steal to keep alive. And also it's also about the politics of South Africa going from the national now to it being personal.
Now, we've mentioned about translation. Is that something that you like, or are you daunted when you see that something's been translated?
Well, I don't know. I've been reading The Sound of Things Falling by Juan Gabriel Vasquez.
The Colombian one.
And like, the idea of the story is wonderful. It's set during the drugs wars, Pablo Escobar, in Colombia. And there's something just a bit flat about it. And I was wondering, was it the translation? I mean, really exciting things are happening. Planes are crashing. We're listening to the recordings on the black box. But I'm somehow not that excited by it.
You feel nearly it's been diluted then for you, maybe as a reader, with the translation.
I'd hate to blame the translation just in case it's
well,
not, you know.
Have we any sense of the odds at this stage? Have the bookies had a look at this list? Where do you think
Paddy Power might have had a look
at
the list?
I think he may
have. And he might have been biased as well, because Donal Ryan is 5-2. Gerbrand Bakker, who we have a connection with because, of course, he won with the twin, he's 4-1. Patrick Flannery, Absolution, is 6-1. And the rest then are pretty much down the list. And Tan Tuan Ng is 16-1, which I think sounds like a gorgeous book that won the Garden of Evening Mist.
So which one are you starting with next week? Which one are you tackling first?
Oh, I think I might do The Sound of Things Falling, seeing as it's far away, it's Colombian, and it'll be fresh in my mind.
Okay, well, we'll see how you continue with that, if it gets more joy and magic for you. And as we said earlier, beginning next Tuesday, Kay will be joining us in studio weekly to review each of these titles for the Impact List in more depth. And we'd love you to join in if you wanted to read any of them and send us in your thoughts and your comments at arena@rt.ie. That'd be wonderful. The overall winner of the Dublin Impact Literary Award will be announced on June 12th.